You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of December 18th, 2019. And it's the annual Gamies!
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Experience Points podcast. I am your host, Scott Juster.
And I'm George Albor.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, and it is the Gamies 2019.
The most wonderful time of the year.
The most prestigious awards, the hardest fought battles, the blood, sweat, and tears of an entire year's worth of video games from the lens of yours truly.
Yes,
both of us.
It is possibly the most prestigious award, the highest honor any podcast has ever bestowed upon a video game.
Take that, NPR's podcast about video games. I'm sure there's
Sit
one
down,
out there.
Jeff Keighley.
Watch how the masters do it.
Watch how the masters do it.
This I don't even know how we started this. I feel like we were just
we were drunk, probably.
Yeah, I feel like we were just like dunking on stupid awards. You know what I think it was, actually? Was it? I think it might have been we were making fun of the game awards because it was like trending gamer of the year or something like that. And we were like, that sounds like a fake award. And we're like, fake awards, you say?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, honestly, we could have trending. We should have actually, you know what, next year, trending game character of the award, you know, like who's the most, right. Like
who's
like,
the best influencer?
Yeah, like if we had to pick between the lead characters of this year, which character is most likely to have their own Twitch channel?
Which character is most likely to have abandoned Twitch to go to fucking, what's Microsoft's thing? Yeah, to Mixer. Yeah. I can't believe Kratos went to Mixer.
Oh man.
But yes, this is the episode we have created. Every year we have some perennial favorites, and then we also have some new categories, and then we have contenders, and we hash it out and come to a consensus on the winners of each category, including the last category, which is 2019's gamiest game.
The high award for the gamiest game.
Right. the marquee award for the year. But I guess with that, maybe we just dive right in. You want to open up the proceedings here?
Sure, dude. Let me go ahead and open this envelope real quick.
Get some Foley work here. Hold on. Let me just... There we go.
Yeah,
that's
good
Foley work.
And this is basically like the only real serious one, I guess, kind of. The first award, the Prettiest Game Award.
The Prettiest Game Award. Give us our nominees.
And the nominees are Sayonara Wild Hearts, A Plague Tale Innocence, Death Stranding, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Void Bastards, and Untitled Goose Game.
Okay. Well, see, Prettiest Game is already kind of like, it's a funny one because we're not saying like most excellent graphics or whatever. We're saying Prettiest Game.
Yeah.
So we have some interesting ones, though, because this is an ugly, pretty game category this year.
It really is, yeah, because we have, two games that are sort of comic book style, right? Void Bastards.
Yep.
Very pretty games.
We have like, post-apocalyptic games that are not meant to look pretty, but look cool.
Right. Modern Warfare, kind of, I guess. Yeah. Death Stranding and A Plague Tale.
Yeah.
And then we've got the
rats. Games. Hella rats.
The rats. So many fucking rats, dude. I have played, let's see, I played all of these games except for Modern Warfare.
Modern Warfare looks good. I mean,
it does look very good. It looks very pretty.
Yeah, I mean, it almost looks like a fake video game in a way. Where
maybe
it's
it
like,
is. I haven't played it.
That's true. We haven't verified
maybe
this.
Maybe it's all CGI. It's just well timed to make you think you're playing the game.
Let's see. I'm willing to kind of like just let that one aside for a bit.
Yes, agree. It doesn't stand out enough.
It, yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's a very... Well, it is exactly what it's doing, and in a way, it's meant to kind of blend in because it's meant to look like real life.
Let's talk about Death Stranding a bit, because okay. we've not yet done our full debrief of Death Stranding.
Oh, I'm getting so close. I'm getting so close to the West, so George.
inch your way there. You yeah. only have a dozen more hours to go.
Right.
Death Stranding, beautiful game.
Yep.
There's some amazing vistas.
Yep.
But there's also some like weird, creepy elements, like that black ink and stuff.
Yeah. Like the capture technology is incredible in that game.
Yes.
Like the yeah. performance capture, I think, is outstanding.
Oh, yeah. It all looks great. I mean, there's a couple of times when a character is like smiling or something that looks a little creepy. But then I'm like, is that the intent?
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, like should I be unsettled? I don't know.
I mean, Plague Tale seems like really impressive rat tech, but I'm not sure if it's the prettiest thing, you know?
I don't think it's the prettiest. Great rat tech. It actually is, atmospherically, it's a very good atmospheric game, but yeah. I don't know. You know, I think my gut response is actually Sayonara Wild Hearts.
Yep.
Because the music is also very pretty, and that's actually why I think Untitled Goose Game deserves a nomination as well, because the music is great, and it fits so great with the aesthetic.
Yeah. And also, there's something so understated about Untitled Goose Game, but it's also, at the same time, it's also very expressive. Like, I remember we were yep. talking about it during our debrief, where, like, that thing looks like a real goose.
Yep. And I've seen a real goose, folks.
And I've been chased by a real goose.
What won last year? Gris, I think?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I'm willing to go for Sayonara, because, like, it's...
Sayonara?
I remember when I was playing it, Hana walked past, and she was like, man, this is
a prettiest game award yeah. contender, if I say so myself.
I mean, yeah, it was one of those like passerbyer type things that really catches someone's attention, you know?
Yeah, and it has a bomb soundtrack also.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Sayonara Wild Hearts.
Lock it in. Prettiest game of the year.
Congratulations, Wild Hearts.
Sayonara Wild Heart.
Okay. Do me a favor, announce this next category and explain okay. what this means.
Okay. This game... Okay. the next category is the This Game is Tearing Us Apart award.
Tearing us apart, Lisa!
I feel like there were a number of games this year that were divisive.
Ooh,
if not between you and me, just divisive generally.
Yes. Yep.
Just games that kind of sowed an amount of rancor.
Love so, it. Love this category.
And so I wanted to recognize that. A game that really tore us apart. And the nominees.
What game has most split us in twain? Either you or I or the culture at large. This
exactly.
is especially in this political climate. Are you yeah. kidding me?
In this climate, forget about it. The nominees are Pokemon Sword/Shield, mm-hmm. Death Stranding,
great.
Control. Mm-hmm. Sekiro, and Apex Legends.
Yep.
So here's what I'll say, actually. I think there's a whole nother dimension to this, which is what I'll call the Witcher 3 phenomena, which is the game that splits us from the mainstream.
You and I, you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I feel like both... not both, maybe. Maybe just one. I think Sekiro might be that game.
Yes.
Where I feel like both of us really turned pretty hard on Sekiro, whereas yeah. it's winning awards left and right.
Yeah, Sekiro appeared in a couple of the categories this year, to right. no surprise. And I think that is partially why, because yeah. you're right. I think it did really split our opinions. What I will say towards the other contenders, though, Sekiro is a little bit unfavored, mm-hmm. or rather, it's advantaged in this category, because... it has the weight of the entire Bloodborne series upon its shoulders.
Yeah.
You know? Like, that's really why it's tearing us apart.
Right. But I feel like I'm almost willing to disqualify it because it's just you and me screaming into the void, whereas, like, the rest of the world seems to be like, yes, this is like, one of my favorite games, you know?
I think people are just making that shit up. I don't believe them. It's a fake game.
It's just like IPAs. People pretend to like them.
Yeah, I mean... Dude, for real. Real talk. All right, well, let's set Sekiro aside. Apex Legends, I think in terms of just the sheer quantity of, like, you're going to stop playing Fortnite? It has the highest reach, you know?
Well, and also people got really up in arms about how they monetized and, like,
yeah.
what the battle pass and just the update schedule in general. Like, I feel like it just caused a lot of strife just in its player base and whether people wanted to play it or not.
Yeah, that's definitely true. It really did.
Yeah.
I also like that Death Stranding is on here because the very core idea behind Death Stranding as a Strand game, after all, is to connect people.
Is building bridges.
Right, is building bridges. And yet, what is the biggest, potentially the biggest gap or chasm, a chasm, if you will, that divides people this year has been, is Death Stranding just a shitty walking simulator or is it a masterpiece?
Right, yeah. I mean, it's up there for sure. I mean, Pokemon, are you familiar with the whole Dexit controversy?
No, what is the Dexit?
People got so mad about the fact that there weren't all of the Pokemon. It was like an incomplete Pokedex.
That's right.
That there were people willing to try to boycott Pokemon. And then also people got mad about the animations or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I remember. I have drowned out the noise from Pokemon fans years ago. You know, I feel like they will always have their little kerfuffle, you know? That's expected. It's an expected
thing. Okay, that's expected thrash. Yeah.
And is control in here just because you and I disagreed about that?
Totally.
That death metal scene?
Not to do too many spoilers, but we will talk about control again before the year is out.
Yes.
And like it, I don't know. Like, I feel like both of us came away from, I remember you were saying that the only reason why you kept playing that game was because we were going to talk about it.
That's true. I almost quit that game several times.
And for me, I played it and I was saying things like, that was awesome. And then the character would say, that was awesome. And I was like, yep, you're right, character. I feel the same way you do.
And I was like, bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like this year I've just become a curmudgeonly old man, Scott. More than I already have been since I was 8 years old. I think the clear winner is Death Stranding here.
You think so?
I do. When I brought it up, or whenever people said, oh, you're playing Death Stranding, there was always a question of like, how is it? How is it really? You know what I mean? Like, which side of the line are you going to fall on?
Right.
Is it great or is it shitty? You know? And everyone, even people who were playing it, were uncertain. You know, you'd be halfway through that game being like, I think I like it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the bridge that is being created is not stable. So.
Right. Okay. I think that's a good argument. I like it. So we lock it in?
Lock it in, baby. Death Stranding. Probably not the last award that game will win this year.
No, not even close. Congratulations, Death Stranding, for winning this game is tearing us apart award.
It's just build your roads, guys. Just invest in those roads, all right? All right, the next category. Should I have played that award? This is our yearly award for games that maybe we didn't play and are like, should we though?
Yep.
Maybe we don't want to?
But should we?
Should we? There's a good heft on this list. Some of these I've played, by the way. Mm. Kingdom Hearts 3. I mean, is that just not the perennial, should I have played that?
Right.
Resident Evil 2. Apex Legends. Outer Wilds. The Outer Worlds. Ring Fit Adventure. I'm so glad you put that on this list. Fire Emblem Three Houses. And probably my favorite named video game of all year, The Dark Pictures Anthology, Man of Medan.
Man, I feel like this year was unique in that, you know, this wasn't a year, you know, this wasn't like a, you know, this wasn't a year when a game like Portal came out or something.
Yeah.
But it was a year where there were so many games that I heard people talking about and seemed interesting, but I just didn't get around to, which is reflected in the length of this list.
So on, great point. On this list, I think the games that rank for me as the ones I lost sleep thinking, like, should I play this game? Yep. Should I have bought this game? Fire Emblem Three Houses.
Yeah.
Because everyone kept saying, this game is like Harry Potter with battles or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know what that means, but I'm excited. Like, that's great.
Yes.
Ring Fit Adventure, actually, because this game was heavily praised as like the return to form of, or carrying on the legacy of, the Wii Fit balance board.
I've heard it described by multiple people as actually a good workout.
I might actually pick up Ring Fit Adventure at some point. Like, this is the type of game where...
New year, new you, baby.
I mean, my biggest concern is downstairs neighbors, because I'm not going to be fucking stomping up and down on my Switch, you know?
So the funny thing is, can I take this to the gym?
If I just, like, rolled into fucking Theory with my Ring Fit Adventure, would people
The Switch is portable, man. You just put the kickstand down, you start pumping iron.
Excuse me, I'm gonna need some space.
I mean, after I did hear that there is.
I gotta hit the showers, so I'm gonna put my Wii U inside, or my Switch into like a plastic bag.
So you can get scrubbed up. I mean, I heard that there is a neighbor's mode where you can set it so that it purposefully picks exercises that aren't very stompy.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
The design.
Yeah.
So smart.
I mean, Kingdom Hearts, I'm always kind of, I keep that at a generous distance where I'm like, I'm kind of grimly, you know, morbidly interested in it.
I also heard that even people who like the series and played it weren't sure if they should have. So
okay, we can strip that one. Resident Evil 2 seems like it's going to pick up some awards this year from people. I didn't play it, but it looks like it's probably, we even did a podcast about it where it was one of the most impressive approaches to a remake that we had seen.
I mean, a significant change to that whole game.
My top contenders right now are Outer Wilds, because
I've heard that.
And it's like I'm hearing some like Majora's Mask rumbling around that game.
Sure, yeah.
And Ring Fit Adventure. Those are kind of my top contenders right now.
I'm going to make the argument that, God, actually, there's some really good ones. And the Man of Medan one, too. Like, what a wild series that whole thing was. Also, side note, that game has really interesting co-op, which is why I was like, oh, maybe we should have played that. I'm going to say Ring Fit Adventure. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I feel like, look, we should have played it because I wouldn't be so fat right now.
That's, you know? It's such a point in its favor to be. Not only is it an interesting mechanical thing, but also I could be in better shape right now.
Right now, yes. I should have played that. Because that's like saying, should I have worked out more this year? Yeah, yes, fucking, obviously. Of course I should have.
Yeah.
I didn't. I ate like 15 cookies today. So, Cookie Fit Adventure, where's that game?
I like this. I think Ring Fit Adventure is our winner. What do you think?
Yep.
Okay, winner. Ring Fit Adventure.
Good job, whoever made that game.
Nintendo's always looking out for our health.
Thanks, guys.
Should I have played that? Ring Fit Adventure is the winner.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Why don't you lead us into this one? Because I know you got a couple of favorites in here.
I do. This is the... I should have thought of a better title for this. You know, it's the... This Magic Moment or something like
this
that.
This Magic Moment.
The Magic Moment of the Year. This is recognizing a sequence or scenario or a moment of the year in a video game. And the nominees are the Luigi's Mansion Shark Battle.
Yep, which I don't understand that, but go on.
I'll explain it.
Okay.
The Ashtray Maze from Control. Rescuing Your Baby in Ape Out.
Great.
Sayonara Smooches from
get
Sayonara
smooch
Wild Hearts. Lady Butterfly from Sekiro. Rat Control from Blacktail. Goose Backtracking from Untitled Goose Game, and Your First Death from The Outer Wilds.
That's right. Yeah.
You want to hear about Luigi real quick?
Yeah, tell me about Luigi. And then some of these are a little spoilery, so we'll give you a warning, I guess.
That's true. So there is a boss in Luigi's Mansion. Every floor in Luigi's Mansion is kind of like a different theme park, and there is one where it is a pirate land, and you go onto a pirate ship, and this huge shark is starting to circle you in the water. And of course, it starts jumping up onto the ship that you're on. And at a certain point, it is so heavy. There's like a Jaws-like moment where it tips the ship up vertically. And the camera, like before the ship is tipping, you have to shoot your plunger onto the deck of the ship, because the deck of the ship is becoming a wall. And then hold on to the plunger while you're dangling over this huge shark. And the camera is like pointed down into the mouth of the shark. And you just see Luigi like holding on for dear
whoa,
life.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah. That's amazing. I love that. That's
it's
great.
Just, it was a great, like, I mean, that game is great because it puts Luigi in action sequences sometimes that would be more fit in, like, you know, the Die Hard universe or something. And there was, it was just a very good moment of, this is a ridiculous action sequence starring Luigi.
Yeah, that's very good. Yeah. Luigi Hard.
Yeah.
Cool. Ashtray Maze we talked about extensively on our Control debrief.
We're gonna eliminate this because there's no way that is your moment of the year.
Yeah, no way, dude. Hard veto.
Even though it's one of my favorite moments.
Yeah. So I added a couple, some of the ones that I added. Lady Butterfly.
Yep.
That's a really interesting sequence in Sekiro, because it's like the first time that you travel to a different time period, mm-hmm. and is the first time that you really realize how fucking hard that game
yes.
is. At least yeah. for me. I mean, I hear tell that some people were like, Lady Butterfly, boring. Like, that yeah. was easy. Yeah. I had an incredibly rough time, and it's a cool looking fight. So,
yep. yep.
And then rat control, man. When those just first
the,
rats...
The waves of rats.
Well, the waves of rats, but mechanical spoiler for Plague Tale, but eventually you can control the rats.
Right.
So you're like psychically moving rats, and that's pretty cool when you realize like all these terrifying things are now under your control. That's pretty right. cool.
Hmm. Let's see. Goose backtracking, that was the one where... Are you talking about the end
the
sequence
end of, the
game, of that
yeah,
game?
When you get the yeah. bell, yeah.
I it's feel just like we, nice... hadn't, we hadn't gotten to the end when we talked about that, but wasn't that like a hilarious end to that game?
It is really great. And I just, yeah. I love experiences that remind you of the journey that you've taken, right?
Like, yes.
The Goose backtracking is an outlandish version of the conclusion to the game Journey right. by that game company, you know? It's like, yeah. look at all of the things that you've done and all the, look at all the people that you've harassed and angered over the past several hours.
Right.
Right. Which is cool. And explains why in the beginning of the game, there's a pit just full of bells.
Yep. Yep.
So that's pretty cool.
Hmm. Let's see. I mean, I kind of have a front runner in this.
So do I. Can we just say it at the same time?
Yeah, my front... I think it's probably... You say yours, and I'll say mine.
My front runner is Ape Out.
Yep, same.
Yeah. Ape Out is really good.
Yep.
And I had not a game I've seen on a lot of people's lists this year, which I think is a damn shame.
I feel like it also came out super early in the year, so people are... Did. That might be a handicap.
I love the baby sequence because yep. it's surprising. You're like, because you first break in and you don't... I mean, I guess, do they tell you you're rescuing even your baby, or is it just something you see?
I feel like it's implied where it's like... It's something like break into the lab or something like that. Like it,
yeah.
Yeah.
But you don't quite understand that, like, then you have to backtrack the way out carrying yep. your baby. I mean, yep. in fact, it is the goose... thing, but actually challenging. And the idea that like the blood splatter you leave
yep.
is kind of your trail backwards, and it's like difficult, is one of the longer
right
and more difficult missions out of Ape Out, man. Super
and like
cool.
thematically it's like it's just, I mean, it's a strong emotion where you're you know, you're bleeding carrying your baby on yep. your back. I mean, it's a cool action sequence that also just ties a lot of the stuff together in that game. And
yeah. And it's triumphant.
It very well.
You know?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's funny because even the Sayonara smooches at the end of the game when you're like smooching all the bosses and stuff,
yeah.
that's the same idea, you know?
It is.
It's a triumphant
yeah.
reclamation of you revisiting the experiences that you had during that game.
Yeah. Those are definitely my top two. I don't know. I think I would vote for Ape Out. How do you feel?
I'm totally comfortable voting for Ape Out.
Yeah. All right. Rescuing your baby in Ape Out. The magic moment of the year.
Great moment. Great game. Play that game.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, the next category. Best Strand game. What is a Strand game?
Man, what isn't a Strand game?
I mean, how did Kojima describe it? He basically described a Strand game as a game in which people make connections.
Yep.
But are not playing with each other.
I mean, it's...
Right?
For as much shit as we give him... I mean, goddamn! Like what
he
an
just invented
auteur.
A genre.
Yeah, I mean,
I mean, it's a genre that's existed and we've had since Journey and a variety of other games. But
still, you know what?
He invented a genre.
The smartphone existed before the iPhone, but we still herald the iPhone as like this revolutionary thing. You know, like sometimes it's about the packaging, and the Strand game is the Strand game is here to stay.
Yes, absolutely right. Just three nominees for the best Strand game this year. Kind Words, Death Stranding, of course, and Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice.
I did not play Kind Words. How'd that hold up upon release?
So I did not play Kind Words either. If any listeners are unfamiliar with this, though, the premise is that you write a heartfelt note, right? Mm-hmm. And you send it out to the void, mm-hmm. and someone in real life gets your note and responds back to you, trying to reassure you and offer kind words,
yeah.
essentially. I think it worked. Like, my understanding is there was not, like... Because I would imagine this could be easily susceptible to harassment.
Yeah, or, like, just terrible. Trolling in general.
Yeah, and just being like, oh, this is terrible. You should go kill yourself or something. Right. Like, that's that would be awful. I think it worked. So kind words seems pretty cool.
Sekiro, I mean, you know, actually, let's talk about that. Because when I was playing Sekiro, I actually didn't feel much of the connection to other players. Like, how was your experience with that?
I mean, it doesn't have co-op in the way that Dark Souls or Bloodborne ever did. I mean, there's still those elements, but yeah, I mean, I agree with you, significantly less. What I will say that Sekiro has, that the Soulsborne series has had, that I think we should count as a quote-unquote strand experience, is the larger conversation around the game helping you through it. Because at the end of the day, like, almost no one experiences the strand game Sekiro. Very few people experience this game completely devoid of any conversations about it or tips about boss battles or little explanations of the mysteries or the lore behind it. Like, so much of that tertiary content around a game like this is part of that game experience, and I think that's always an interesting sort of strand experience.
Death Stranding. I mean, it's not just one strand. This is like a knotted ball of strand. This is just a yarn ball that people have made. I mean, there's so many different types of connections between players in this game.
Connections that I honestly did not realize existed until literally 40 plus hours into the game. You know?
Yeah.
Seriously. It's wild.
I mean, that's the thing where, I mean, going back to the iPhone analogy, where you're not the one that invented it, but you may be the one that put together all the pieces.
Well, let me ask you this. Are we comfortable awarding Death Stranding both the best strand game and tearing us apart award? Can you be both?
I think that's the conundrum that is Death Stranding.
Well, conversely, though, what brings us together better than conflict?
That's true. What brings us together better than arguing about Hideo Kojima?
Yes.
I mean, it's just the number of, like, making bridge or making, what do they call them?
Bridges?
Bridge contracts. Strand contracts.
Yeah, that's crazy.
The contracting system, the straight up Dark Souls leaving signs in places.
Yeah. Also, I would
leaving
say
vehicles
even,
in places.
Even the marketing.
Yeah,
before the game ever came out, man. I'm okay with. I mean, I feel like we have to give it. It's the inaugural best strand game.
Yeah,
it's kind of like how sometimes when an old person in Hollywood dies, they have the, like, so and so lifetime recognition award. You know, that's what this is. So next year it'll be Death Stranding's best strand game award.
Right, exactly. This will define the category. And I, like, honestly, like, all joking aside, I mean, we struggle to say, oh, is this a Souls game? Is this whatever? Like, I mean, strand game is kind of what all of these types of games are. And I feel like we might keep using this term.
I would love if, like, 10 years from now, we're still using the word strand game. Great.
Oh, man.
Bizarre. All right. This is another yearly category we like.
Yeah.
And that is,
go into the valley of negativity here for a minute. Stick with us.
Our biggest gear grinders. you want to read the nominees?
Yes. The nominees for the biggest gear grinder. Sekiro, Shadows Die Twice.
Just the whole thing, huh?
The whole damn thing.
Okay.
Everything around the Stadia announcement and launch.
Oh, God, that's so good.
Blizzard. Just Blizzard. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Monster energy drinks.
Fucking Monster, dude.
Three-phase fights.
This sort of loops into Sekiro, but
it does.
It applies.
It does.
Yep.
Announcing games so damn early.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And the, quote, we're not political, end quote, move.
Yes. Good ones. All good ones.
I mean, this is some really gear grindy shit right here.
I think the three phase fights we can loop into Sekiro. I know they're not the only perpetrators, but it that is part of that, why the experience is so grating.
Right.
Man, the Stadia, they really shit the bed, didn't they?
I mean, every time it's crazy. Every time I read about Stadia, I just was more annoyed. Where it's like, what are you doing? Like, you have this golden opportunity to, like, strike while you can define what streaming games actually look like. You seem to have the technology in place. Yep. You're one of the biggest companies on the planet, and you're still messing this up at every turn.
I mean, multiple games released late on the service. Multiple games not released at all, even yet, since the service has released. And multiple features that they specifically said would be launch features are still not yet available.
Like the fucking controller?
Yep.
I mean, or the fact that Destiny doesn't even run on max settings? I mean, what are you even doing? You're streaming a video down to your computer. Why can't it run at the maximum settings? Like, well, how did you not work with the developer to make that available on day one?
And a service that everyone has said, we'll have to wait and see how good it works.
Right.
Launching with those problems feels so fatally flawed, you know? Right. Because what you should be doing right now is showcasing and proving your worth. Also, man, you're launching right before, I forget exactly what day they launched, but the biggest holiday shopping period of the year. Like, now is your time, man.
Yep.
You want to give a gift to someone in your life who loves video games but doesn't have a PC, and you're like, you know what? I can give them a year's worth of Stadia on the cheap. I can get them this, you know, the controller, and they're set. Like, there's no concern about this, and they are just failing to prove their own service.
Yep. I mean, I struggled. So preview, the next category is the man what the fuck category.
Yeah.
And this, I think this could have gone in either. But
that's true.
The reason why I put it in the gear grinders, even though I definitely said what the fuck whenever I read about Stadia, was it just got so irritating to me after a while, where it's like looking at their marketing and like their whole like launch, you know, Apple-esque event where they had like stupid influencers, you know, talking about Stadia. Like, it was just everything about it was just extremely grinding my gears. And so, which is why I put it in this category.
Worth.
Okay. Tell me about Monster Energy drinks.
I mean, look, I get it. You are a brand we associate with video games, but I fucking hate product placement that is so fourth wall breaking in your face to the degree it is in Death Stranding. It makes me sick. And I did not realize until 30 hours into that game that I can skip the cutscene of Norman Reedus drinking a Monster Energy drink and loop this bad boy into three-phase fights, because you can chug three of those Monster Energy drinks to really maximize...
Totally, to overpower your stamina.
To overpower your stamina, which can be quite clutch on some of those longer delivery runs.
Yep.
It's just so... Every time, even the act of me hitting the options menu to skip it drives me crazy. I hate it so much.
I am willing to save Blizzard for the what the fuck category.
Yep, fair. It's in both categories. Yep.
Yeah, it's in both categories.
Okay.
The we're not political move is actually kind of similar to the Blizzard stuff, but that is super annoying. I mean, just from a conceptual perspective, every act has politics behind it, you know? Yes. So, like, just get out of my face with that. But this year it was definitely big.
Did you read about the Highway of Death stuff for Call of Duty in particular?
I did.
Which is like, come on, dude.
So like, crazy. Like, why would you go to that length to just make such an ignorant choice?
And I refuse to believe that it was an oops, we didn't realize moment. Like, I'm sorry, but like, you have to do a cursory glance on Google to realize that that's a bad idea. You know? Like, that, you know, let's name something that is referencing an atrocious, some would argue, war crime against civilians. I was about to say,
let's just call it a war crime.
Yeah, like, it's horrendous. Like, bonkers. And just to be like, look, this isn't a political game. We didn't mean to, so, ugh.
Yeah.
I'm so over that.
I mean, and the thing that grinds my gears
aware,
about
like,
it.
Yeah, and I'm aware that Ubisoft, you know, like, my employer, like, pulls this card also. I think it's just a general industry-wide trend.
Yeah.
I'm just, it's so, like, why... At that point, don't even say anything. You know what I mean?
Exactly. That's the most annoying part about it, which is like, if you are going to try to abdicate responsibility for making political statements, then don't pretend like you're not. Just abdicate responsibility. You know, just walk away and be irresponsible versus lying about it. You know,
yeah.
Like, it's just crazy. Like, you don't have to you don't have to pretend like you're not. You can just quietly do it.
I think that this one is not going away anytime soon.
Yeah. Which makes it even more annoying.
Because look, I don't think we're going to get a whole lot of Monster Energy drink tie-ins next year. You know, like not everyone's willing to sacrifice their artistic vision to that degree as Kojima is, apparently.
It's called realism, George.
Uh-huh, sure. You know, by the way, it's not just drinking. Every time you fill your water canteen, it becomes Monster Energy drink.
Totally. Got to get that. I mean, it's got the electrolytes and all the shit that you crave.
Oh, Jesus. Some rough ones here.
Announcing games early. I mean, that is annoying. I don't know if it hangs with the...
Not to the degree. Things. Yeah, I'm used to that one at this point.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. I would say Stadia is probably more petty. And therefore, I think fits the gear grinder theme.
Right.
But I feel like we shouldn't let the we're not political move get a pass, you know what I mean? Because that's the whole reason that fucking thing exists, is to give yourself a pass, you know?
Right. Well, and the other thing is, I guess the Stadia stuff you could argue is more... I mean, at this point, I've just basically ignored it. I'm like, okay, I'll check back in with Stadia in 6 to 12 months, and I'm not even going to look at it anymore.
Yeah.
And I can kind of excise that from my life a little bit, whereas... it's harder to excise some of the, you know, some of the things that we already mentioned from like the political statements or lack thereof.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it's the, we're not political. It's like our biggest gear grinder of 2019.
And also in this political climate, Scott, you know, really?
Yeah, exactly. Oh yeah. I'm sure there's any statement you make, of course, it's going to be devoid of any politics because we live in such a, you know, calm and tranquil political.
There's
going
to be a game. Mark my words. Next year, there will be a video game that heavily features an impeachment trial of the U.S. president. And they're going to be like, not a political statement.
Not political. Not political.
not political.
We're just here to play games.
Why is he putting his finger on his nose and saying not political? That's weird.
Okay, let's lock it in. We're not political. That's really grinding our gears.
Stop it.
Stop it.
All right, the next category. Man, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
I think this isn't the first year, right? We've done this one before. This feels like a yearly thing now.
Correct. We've at least did it last year. Last year, the man, what the fuck winner was Fallout 76.
Oh, man, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah.
Really dropped the ball on that one.
Yeah.
I love this category because it encapsulates sometimes the absurd confusion that just like, you know, look, we've been at this game for a while, you know?
Yep.
But every year there are multiple things that take place that I'm just like, I don't understand the circumstances that led to this moment in games,
right.
You know? Anyway, all right. Our nominees for Man, What the Fuck? Anthem. Mm. Great. Death Stranding. Yep. In Valley of the Gods, rest in peace. Blizzard and Apex Legends.
Okay, this is good. Let's start with, I think, some of the easier ones. Tell me about Apex Legends. What would we kind of consider that a, you know, what the fuck moment?
I would consider Apex Legends a what the fuck moment because the rise and fall of that game happened so fast. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're going to see Apex Legends on many people's games of the year list, but don't forget that for a brief moment, this was the most widely played game on Twitch. It had amazing watch time in hours. It was hot shit. Everyone and their mother was playing it. It was free. They announced the game. It was available that same day. You could go out and play it. This is from the team that brought you Titanfall. Like, this is going to be dope. And it was dope. And now, if you look at the streaming behavior, the player behavior, there's still plenty of people playing Apex Legends, but it really did its entire like arc and life cycle in what, 3 to 6 months? Like, that's crazy.
The way that you describe that, because there's multiple levels, and this is why this category is so great, because there's multiple dimensions where
yes.
it's like, what the fuck? The Respawn just made a game and released it today? This is yep. this is crazy. And what the fuck? It's a battle royale? What the fuck? It's amazing? And then yeah. and then all of a sudden, then you have the meta commentary around how popular it got, and then you have the secondary meta commentary around how it's just kind of faded into the background. And yep. so they're just like, yeah, you're right. This is a strong one. I thought this was going to be an easier cut.
And also, go back, like, you know these days how when a new game comes out and it's hot shit, you see, like, really niche write-ups on a bunch of websites like Polygon and IGN right. that's like, here's 10 tips about how right. to fucking ace with this shotgun, or, like, yep. the latest patch you wouldn't believe to right. Apex Legends, right? Yeah. Where all of a sudden it feels like you're just visiting a bunch of Apex Legends websites. Right. That does not exist anymore. You right. know, you do not see that in the way that... You still see for something like League of Legends, which has these crazy long legs over the years.
Right.
So wild, wild game. Anthem, I think, is the reverse, right? Where
right.
everyone has high hopes and then it launches to a complete dud and never really picks up again.
Well, and to me, it's like Anthem is just more, it's a resigned yeah. way of saying it. It's like, man, oh, what the fuck? You know, what happened? You know, what happened to this game? And also, now what's going to happen to BioWare, period? Yep. You know, yep. after something like Anthem happens, now you're going to be like, man, what the fuck? Like, are we going to get a Dragon Age ever again? Like, it's yeah. to that point, you know?
I mean, allegedly, because we announced the game so damn early.
Right, exactly. Yeah, someday we'll get a Dragon Age that doesn't even exist off of graph paper yet. But, I mean,
yep.
There were some really weird things about how they just seem to miss the boat on what people really liked about the Destiny formula. And
yep.
and they seem to kind of miss the boat on just even how people were excited about the own mechanics, like the flying mechanics. And I don't yep. know. It was really weird to, and like more sad to see that, where it's like, wow, this game seemed to really have a lot of juice behind it. And then it just like, ugh, you know,
yeah,
didn't pan out.
It's a great example of, you know, there's a few games, some of which will remain unannounced or undiscussed, that came out this year that just, like, for whatever reason, there were problems along the way and it yeah. didn't hit the landing. And now, with hindsight being 2020, you could see, like, oh, well, here are a myriad of problems that led to this result. But,
right.
man, pretty wild.
I mean, Death Stranding, it's a what the fuck in both, like, a good and, like, I'm finishing up that game and still... dozens of hours in, every once in a while I'll be like, what the fuck is this game?
I mean, it's a Strand game, Scott. The strandiest Clearly. Game, in fact. That's a good one. Blizzard, that's kind of up there with the we're not political move, I guess. Yeah?
I know. The whole Blizzard thing this year, just, you know, blacklisting streamers, just
yep.
kind yep. of kowtowing to Chinese influence. I mean,
the non-apologies
yeah
that were issue, because there was at least two non-apologies that were like, well, maybe we were a little hard, like, oh, we have to yeah. obey our own rules, okay, maybe we're a little harsh, oh, okay, you know, like, I don't know.
Well, and the fact that they were, you know, they were trying to justify it in terms of yeah in terms of like, oh, what is our corporate rule versus yep. like what's best for the players, or I mean,
you could also really see that Blizzard was waiting to see if it would blow away. Like, it would
oh,
just,
yeah.
You know, if it would if the conversation would fizzle out. When it didn't, it was so obvious then that they were like, uh-oh, we need yeah. to respond to this. And especially the timing
right
before BlizzCon is so juicy, because you know it's like, man, they got a hard clock on sorting this shit out. You know?
I know. I just wonder, for me, it's... why are they even doing that? I mean, are they true? Like, is it a realistic thing that Blizzard would just be kicked out of China? Like, do they really think that that would happen? Like, why would they have to, why would they be so aggressive towards people? I mean, I don't know. Maybe the Chinese game development scene can work faster and clone faster than I think, but
yeah.
it just seems like it's not realistic that, like, Blizzard could easily just do a non-comment and get away with it versus, like, taking away people's money and taking away people's shoutcaster positions. Yep. It just seems so punitive and just so cowardly to adhere to those types of rules that
yeah.
it's just like, what the fuck are you even doing?
Well, it's such a speedy response that it was hard not to interpret their excessive punishment as an immediate demand, and
exactly
with no second thought, right. an acquiescing to that demand.
Right.
You know, as opposed to like, whoa, 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 let's think about the impacts right. of this, you know?
Exactly.
Like, even outside of how are we going to look in regards to, you know, our support or lack thereof of Hong Kong, but how are right. we going to look as a company who's, you know, throwing the book and the whole desk at these right. people, you know?
Well, and also just like a complete lack of understanding around the Streisand effect of the moment they banned those people, all of a sudden that news story is yes. on my radar. And it's yep. like, if they didn't do anything, I would have never known about those people speaking up about Hong Kong because it just wouldn't have been a controversy.
Yep. Or even a smaller punishment. Like, yeah. oh, we're going to, you know, delay your next match or fine right. you a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, there was much more shallower ways of punishing them as opposed to, like, I mean, if it was like scorched earth, dude. Like,
yeah.
firing of the shoutcasters that were doing the interview was yes. so crazy.
Yeah. I mean, there's like total bystanders of, and yeah, it's just, yeah, it was kind of a really what the fuck moment.
And then again, you also could
have been on the gear grinder list as well.
And then you got people like, you know, the university people did it also, like other yes. people started doing similar things. There was a walkout at the Blizzard campus. It yep. was a pretty wild moment. I actually think, after talking about it, it's probably the biggest what the fuck of the year.
And just a company of that size, and also a company that is connected to Activision. And I mean, for a company of that size to act so rashly and with so little forethought as to how it will come across, it's just kind of shocking.
Yeah, and following the footsteps of the We're Not Political move also, it's yes. a good reminder of like, oh, actually, yes, we are. Like, right. no matter what you do, we very much are, you know, and that's a great reminder. Because, look, you know, there for the grace of God go I, like, this could have been any company, you know, right. it happens to be Blizzard. But
right.
look, a lot of the companies that are big in games have major shareholders from China, you know,
right.
like,
right. it
could have been anything.
And then, and you know, to just wrap it up, then it's like to turn around and be like, oh, and by the way, we're going to charge you to play old WoW again. And it's like, what? Like, what? Like, what is happening?
Yeah. It was a weird year for Blizzard. I am really sad about was. The Valley of the Gods, but I think Blizzard is the what the fuck moment.
I think so. Okay, let's lock it in. The Man What the Fuck award goes to Blizzard.
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Oh.
All right. For a while now, we've had a category each year that is specific to a particular game. I guess I think we started this last year with the most superfluous system in Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yes.
Which I liked a lot. We have another contender this year, and that is, drumroll please, Death Stranding presents the, wait, so that's how that works award? Directed by Hideo Kojima. The nominees... Wow. The nominees are basic things we all do for the most part. The first is peeing. Then resting.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, which I'll explain shortly. Killing enemies and BTs. Mm-hmm. And blood bags and gunfire.
Oh, blood bags and gunfire. My favorite electro pop duo.
There are easily a dozen mechanics we could have added to this.
Oh yeah, easily. This could have been doubled the amount.
Okay, so just to explain, so peeing, of course, is you can pee out in the wild.
Yeah, you can pee in your private room too.
In your private room, both of them have effects on the world.
Yep.
One of them gives you
different distinct effects.
Different distinct effects. The yeah. other one can spawn things in your world, and because it's a strand game, the strandiest mm-hmm. game,
yeah,
your pee spots can spread to other worlds.
Right.
Right.
And resting, have impact there.
Yes, resting, very similar effect. If you rest out in the wild, mm-hmm. which I didn't realize you could do for many hours.
Oh, no.
You can also spawn things to help other people. Also, if you rest in a really cold climate, you will just die.
Yep.
Which I did not realize until I was like, this mountain spot seems cozy. In my defense, I was in the lee of a stone. You know, yeah. I thought for sure I was safe, but
right.
You'll die. So that's interesting.
Well, and also when you rest, that's also how you can save the game.
Yes, also
that's,
true.
And when you rest, you can also rub your shoulders, which helps raise your stamina more quickly than just standing still. God,
so weird. Yeah. So weird. Hello. Did you try this? Did you figure this out? Okay.
Yeah. It's useful, actually.
So... You can press a button to say hello or hello there or whatever.
Yeah.
I pushed the button a lot while I played the game. And I was like, this does nothing. I guess it's just hello. And then lo and behold, Scott, like 30 hours in, and literally this is like one of my last runs in the game, I press hello and someone responded.
Yep.
And I was like, what the fuck? And so I started spamming it. So I still don't know how this works. Here's my theory. My theory is that someone else, because this is a Strand game, was in my near vicinity playing the game at the exact same time. Is that how that works?
I haven't looked this up, but I think you're giving it too much credit. My observations is that when you say hello, it basically pings other structures that are close to you. It highlights people's ladders or it highlights people's zip lines or whatever.
Really? That's how that works.
And then they call back to you because, like, what I do is I'll yell hello.
Wait, so the ladder is saying hello?
Well, it's kind of like echoing through, like, you know, somewhere there's like an echo across the strands that someone else who has left something there is kind of responding to your cry out into the void.
What if, conversely, the hello marks the map? So if somebody else says hello near you, your hello says hello back.
I mean, that could very well be the case. I'm sure they could keep track of that on the server side somewhere.
So really, this should be, wait, how does that work award?
Right, exactly. I mean, this is my observation, so it could be incorrect, but it basically allows you to highlight and make more obvious the other impacts that players have had around you in the environment.
Okay. All right, well, the more you know.
There you go.
Killing enemies in BTs. So if you kill someone, I only killed one person in the game, like actual. I think I ran a few people over actually with a truck. If you do not dispose of their body, normally the lore says they void out. They cause a void out, right?
Yep.
In the game, you don't cause void outs, but you do increase the number of BTs in that area.
Right. I think you can actually cause a void out. If a BT spawns there and then interacts with a corpse, like that's what causes a void out. And so I think you can actually do it because when I killed someone, you know, fucking Die Hardman called me and was like, you better burn that body. I guess I better do it.
Yeah, he called me too. And I was like a million miles away from it because I was like using the rope system. I'm like, fuck you, dude. What are you talking about? Let the mules do that. That's not my job. And then the last one, blood bags and gunfire. I didn't realize until much later in the game. I think they do explain this. But I'm not entirely sure how it works. Some of the guns use your blood to fuel them.
Yep.
You can also use your own blood to prime grenades that explode with blood in the air. If you shoot regular bullets through a blood cloud, you can kill BTs with regular bullets.
Correct. That is how that works.
There's a weird number of ways of killing BTs in the game, and I used maybe one of them.
Yeah, so but I mean the blood stuff is interesting because I thought at first the blood was prepackaged blood for those weapons.
That's what I thought. It was like blood ammo.
Right. And then I realized it was blood ammo, but it was draining my blood to get it.
Yeah. And when you equip a blood bag, it increases the amount of blood that you can lose.
Yes.
So like it'll go through and automatically use your blood bags before using your regular blood, but it won't really let you know, like, hey, just FYI, you're sucking yourself dry at this point.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's it. That was just a super, it was a fun discovery to make for sure. Yep. What do you think?
Well, I feel like half of these, I still don't know how it works. So I think we got to disqualify hello because I don't know how that works.
Right. Right.
And that's probably true of enemies and BTs a little bit.
Mm-hmm. How about peeing? Do you feel like you have a handle on peeing?
I mean, I'm pretty good at peeing. I mean, not to toot my own horn, Scott. Peeing makes sense to me. I think peeing is the best one because peeing was also quote unquote leaked.
Nailed it.
I guess it wasn't leaked. It was revealed, I guess, online before the game launch. And people are like, what? That's weird. And then you sort of get it, you know?
Right, right. I mean, it is, because at first it is just kind of funny to do, but then when you realize, it also has multiple things where it's like, oh, someone has been here. Yep. Secondly, oh, like a group of people have been here and all peed, and now there's some cool Krylobites that I can get from it.
Yep. And it incentivizes you to think about where you're going to pee next.
Yes.
Yeah. Also, did you ever get to a point where he comments that he has to pee too much? Because I feel like I held it in once, and I had a lot of pee.
There is something, I feel, maybe I had equipped the peeing option, and that's when he started complaining about it. Because I definitely got a dialogue bark where he was like, man, gotta pee. And I was like, well, and then I looked at my meter, and was like, oh yeah, you're right. 1,000 milliliters, you're bursting.
Did you ever pee in the game and then go, I have to pee in real life? You know, like a sympathetic peeing experience.
Yeah, and then I just peed in the corner in my house to see if, you know, I could
like grow any mushrooms.
Yeah,
cool.
Peeing is, but your resting story was also very funny.
I cannot believe I died, dude. I was like, what the fuck is? I honestly thought I triggered a cutscene. I was like, oh, dope. Like I'm gonna figure something out, and then I was like, what? I'm dead.
I like. Maybe we should do peeing. You think peeing? That's how
I think,
that works.
I think peeing. That's how that works.
Well, and also that's the other thing where I was trying to create those EX grenades and I realized, oh, I don't have enough P to create one.
Dude, I don't even know what those EX grenades do. Like, it's not a grenade I use a lot. They scare them away?
Yeah, you can use them to basically scatter the BTs.
And the shit grenades work the same way.
Correct. I think the shit grenades are the most effective. And basically, it goes 0, 1, 2 in that order of like least to most effective.
Congratulations, peeing. You've done it again.
The Death Stranding presents the Wait, So That's How That Works award, directed by Hideo Kojima.
Peeing. Cool. All right. We're moving along here.
Moving along. The next category is the That Could Have Been Great award. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the nominees for the That Could Have Been Great award are The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, and I've called out specifically the dungeon builder aspect.
Great.
Stadia.
We talked about that, yeah.
Anthem.
Mm-hmm.
Sekiro. Yep. And Sky, Children of Light.
Yep.
Man, hey, wait a second. Is Sky, Children of Light a Strand game?
Yeah, I guess so, right?
Huh.
I haven't played it because it's on mobile. And I don't care about mobile games, which is why it could have been great.
It was a That Game Company game. I still actually have it on my phone. I've been meaning to get to it after like working through a couple other games. But
build those bridges, Scott.
I mean, I feel like I can let that one go because maybe it is great.
That's true. Yeah, maybe it is great.
And I just didn't get to it.
I refuse to believe that, but maybe.
You know what's a crying shame, by the way? I think as we record this, I think Wattam is coming out.
That's right, yeah, tonight.
And it's coming out too late for most of our award stuff.
Yep. I'm going to try to play it, actually, to see if
Fuck,
I can squeeze
is Wattam a Strand game?
Definitely
no? Nobi Nobi Boy is a Strand game.
Nobi Nobi Boy is a Strand, yeah. A Strand so long that it can reach from here to Mars.
Huh. Anyway, sorry, I'm distracted. Okay.
We should actually write the definitive list of Strand games. I wonder if that exists yet.
I mean, people must be putting it together. If the Wikipedia page doesn't exist now, we have to create
one. Yeah, we'll add it.
And then get subsequently banned by Wikipedia.
I think the obvious contenders... Okay, Sekiro, fine. A lot of people like it, so maybe we disqualify that. Right. It could have been better, you know? Yeah. It could have been better. I think the obvious contenders for me is Stadia, and we've already given a great argument for that.
Right.
And then the Dungeon Builder, dude.
Yes.
Because I was not excited. Like, I was bummed out by that game. But then when you and I were doing our debrief on it, when we were discussing what that dungeon builder could have been, for a moment, there was a glimmer in my eye where I was like, this could have been so good that it justified the game alone.
Right. You saw another universe in which you had a Legend of Zelda maker as you do a Super Mario maker.
Yep. A twinkle in my eye where they release patches where it's now I can do it's like Crystal Chronicles or whatever, where other people can join me in my dungeon. Oh, yeah.
Right. I mean, I think this is a quick category, and I feel like this is the epitome of a Legend of Zelda tile-based maker game could have been great. and they just got a glimpse of it, you know.
I would say this is the winner also, because while I think my second runner-up is Stadia,
I don't know
if Stadia could have been great.
Right.
You know? But you still have to argue it or have to, like, you know, fish it out. And maybe it still will be. But this, Dungeon Builder, not going to happen.
Right. All right. Congratulations to The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, The Dungeon Builder. You could have been great.
You could have been great. Rest in peace. All right. Second to last category.
Home stretch here.
Home stretch. One of my favorite awards that we do every year.
Totally. An annual award.
The best waifu slash husbandu material. This award honors the characters and or objects that really reflect if they were in real life, you know, how are they? Are they fleshed out, likable people? We've had winners such as the doll.
Yep.
I believe last year from Bloodborne, Incineroar.
Oh my God, Incineroar.
Like, great, a whole cast. So this year, the nominees are The Line Block from Treacherous 99. Marcus Fenix. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Cal from Jedi Fallen Order. Mama, the character from Death Stranding, a Stranded game. Sekiro himself.
Sekiro himself.
Yep. Polaris from Control. Queen Latifah. and lastly, the wife from Telling Lies. I think she has the name. I don't remember it.
Well, if you don't remember her name, I think we have to take her off the list.
She's also already, she's taken, you know what I mean? She's already a wife.
True. Well, she's that doesn't mean she's not best waifu.
That's true. She's someone's best waifu.
Right.
Yeah. Cal from Jedi Fallen Order. I've been playing that recently.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good guy, you know?
Okay.
He looks a little bit like Snotlout from How to Train Your Dragon, and it throws me off because his jawline is just so pronounced. It's really distracting.
Maybe that's what happened. You know, he grew up and learned he was force sensitive. That's how he controls dragons.
The problem is the game keeps crashing on me, so I'm like, is he really reliable, though, you know? Also, real talk, Jedi aren't supposed to make connections, you know? You're not supposed to have connections.
That's true. Luke got in a whole mess of trouble when Mara Jade came into the picture.
I mean, and Anakin was clearly not a great husband.
That's true.
You know? Obi-Wan, as far as I understand, never married, even though he's had some hot, steamy romance with the Mandalorian Duchess Satine. Thank you very much. I'll ship that.
Did you have any interaction with Marcus Fenix this year? Because I put him on the list because he seems like an old flame, but I don't know if he's still got it, you know?
I did not play any of the new Gears of War. You know, he's scarred, though, you know? Like, Marcus Fenix, he's not a great dad. We know that.
No, but I feel like he's trying.
I mean, he's trying good. Oh, this is the best waifu husband of materials.
I guess that's true. They should make it look easy.
I mean, does the line block from Tetris 99 try? No. He gets the job done.
Dude, oh, the line block. I mean, what... Just the pure love and adoration I have of the line block. I mean, that's up there with the doll from Bloodborne.
Well, and when you know it's coming and he shows up right on time, you know?
Well, and also sometimes you just stick the line block in the bank and you know it's there to support you when you need it. Like when you need help and you're in a bad spot, the line block is there for you.
Well, but let me ask you this, though. Who among us has not lost because the line block showed up and just blocked you shit, you know?
I mean, sometimes you love too much.
It's a little too needy, you know, the line block. It needs four, a row of four. Not something I can handle. Let's see. I like Sekiro as an option because he's loyal, you know?
That's true.
He gets the job done.
I mean, he comes back from the dead to do it, right?
Also, who knows what sorts of fun attachments he could add to his arm, you know? You know? Sekiro gets the job done, you know, outside the sheets and in the sheets. You know what I mean?
In the sheaths.
In the sheaths.
samurai in the sheaths, the freak in the sheets.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's talk about Mama.
Yep, Mama. She's a good mom. She's loyal.
I guess we'll get into this in our debrief, but... I think that has been my favorite chapter so far.
100%. I'm glad you said that. Mama is my favorite character from the game.
Yeah.
Excellent. Yes. Okay, man, I cannot wait to debrief on Death Stranding, by the way. It's going to be longer than this fucking podcast.
That is true. So, I mean, I think we got to keep her on the list for a while because, like, that stuff, like, everything from the, like, from the performance to, I think, the story itself is pretty interesting. Okay.
And then there's, like, some weird... I don't want to spoil anything about Death Stranding, but there's an interesting arc there where it's like, man, if anybody gets it, Mama gets it.
Right. Know? And she... I mean, there is a selflessness to that character that persists even after Mama is not in the picture anymore.
Yes, precisely. Yeah. To a point where I would choose Mama as the little hologram to be outside my post. So,
yeah.
Okay, Polaris.
Polaris.
Yep.
So this is a best waifu slash husbandu slash interdimensional entity.
Yeah, always there for you.
Always there.
Quiet but caring.
Quiet but caring, useful in battle.
Yeah,
gives you tips and tricks. It seems like there's an actual. I mean, it seems like there's an actual relationship between
them. They do seem to care for each other, right? Here's my problem, though. At the end of the game, it's a little unclear if Polaris is real or not.
Yeah, well, and if Polaris is still persisting after the conduit has been destroyed, you know?
Right. Yeah, that's true. Can we have can we elect a dead waifu?
Right.
It's a good question. I'm going to also, real quick, I want to explain why Queen Latifah is on here. Queen Latifah, the very first candidate that is a real person for best waifu husbandu material, but for her role in Sayonara Wild Hearts, because I didn't know it was Queen Latifah for a little while, right?
Yeah.
At the end of every mission, she supports you. She's like, you fucking get it, girl. Like, you know what I mean? She's there for you. At the end of the game, she gives you this like great uplifting speech and then is like, peace, Queen Latifah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
She's very good.
There's something so reassuring about that entire narration throughout the course of that game.
I mean, I really think that they really nailed it by casting Queen Latifah, you know? Because she is empowering in the way that she delivers words of wisdom to you.
There is a positivity there that... you would want from a waifu slash husbandu.
Yes. Here's the problem, though. She always judges you, and she will find you wanting, you know?
That is true. I mean, and harshly, too, where she'll be like, good job, wild heart, but then it's like, you get a B.
Yeah, bronze award. You're like, whoa, what? Queen Latifah, I got a lot of gems, you know what I mean? I'm hustling over here. What do you mean, bronze award?
She's like, that's fine. Just play it again, though. It's like, ah.
Oh, man. You know, if she didn't judge you so harshly, I feel like she'd be an obvious contender.
I feel like this is coming down to Sekiro and Mama.
Sekiro. Just like we always knew it would.
We meet on the battlefield.
We knew this day would come. Sekiro's interesting because of all the Soulsborne protagonists, he's the most fleshed out, obviously.
Yes, yep.
He is also the most, like, likable. You know what I mean? Like, he's not a zombie, you know? He's not undead or infected or
he's
whatever.
He's not a hollowed.
Yeah, like, he's not a horrible... He's got, like, the blood curse or whatever, but, you know, who doesn't in their world?
Well, and he did it for a reason. I mean, he was defending his ward. I mean, that's he's doing his job. He's just doing his job. He's a good provider. Doing his job.
I almost nominated the guy that lets you kill him. The training dummy?
Yeah. I mean, if we had a category for like, I think last best year friends. We've had best friends.
We've had like animal companion as well. Animal. I think.
Oh, and we also had like chillest roommate. I mean, he would definitely be a good candidate for that. Yeah,
for the chill roommate.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Sekiro or Mama?
I mean, there is a selflessness to Mama that is also... balanced. I mean, she's not just a punching bag, though. I mean, she could have continued to live her life in a, you know, not optimal, but an unchanged way.
Yeah.
And she knew what she had to do to push things forward.
Yeah.
But it's not just, I don't know. I mean, it's weird because it really walks the line of the kind of exploited female character trope, but I don't think it crosses the line.
And also, just to take a more pragmatic approach, she's kind of homebound. You know what I mean?
Like, I mean that is true. I would say that is a drawback, but she's also a mechanical genius.
That's true, actually. That's and in the world, I mean, I don't know if we're talking about, like, is Mama coming from her world or are we going to hers? Like,
right.
In her world, she's great, you know, one of the best.
What, how do things wind up for Sekiro? I forget how that all wraps itself up.
I mean, it depends, because like all Soulsborne series, there's right. like a couple of, you right. know, changes. But, you know, he's the hero that you need. You can actually let him, I believe early on in the game, you could acquiesce to the like Owl Father guy and just end the game there. He's just like surrender, and you could be like, yeah, all right. You know? So maybe that version of Sekiro is not the best husbandu. He helps people out. You know, there's other side characters that he helps out.
That is true. That is true.
But you know what, though? Here's the thing. Well, he only has one arm, which isn't to say anything about people with lesser abilities. Actually, you know what? I'm switching it up. He should be the winner, because that prosthetic arm allows him to bring a lot more to the table than Mama could provide, you know? Because he can tinker also. He's also a master tinkerer. You know, eventually, because that Tinkerer guy leaves in the middle of the game. And then Sekiro does that shit himself with one arm, you know? Or he could put, like, you know, a vacuum cleaner in that arm. Do a little bit of house cleaning.
Clean up around the house. Yeah. How, I guess, is there a morality play here where... Does Sekiro at any time seem like he's just kind of... does he seem like he knows what's going on, or is he more of a pawn in this situation?
Well, see, that's the bigger problem, because you always have to ask, where does Sekiro's loyalties really lie if he's established a blood oath with the Child Emperor? You know?
Right.
Do you really want to compete for their time? You
know? Right.
Like, oh, are you free Friday night? Oh, I can't. I'm sorry, honey. I have to fucking save the life of my Child Emperor again. Like, nobody wants to go through that.
But, I mean, then again, Mama, physically connected to an otherworldly apparition from the dead.
But she's also always connected to you, thanks to the chiral network, you know?
Chiral network. I think...
I think Mama.
I think I'm going to go with Mama because of the meta reason of... I actually think the performance was very good in a way that Sekiro is more of a cipher.
That's true. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
man, I had no clue how this was going to shake out.
It's always, you know, I had high hopes for you, Queen Latifah, but the moment I realized you gave me too many bronze rings.
I had fucking high hopes for the line block.
Mama it is. Thanks, Mama.
Wow. Best waifu / husbandu material of the year. Mama from Death Stranding.
At some point, we need to have a, like, you know,
ultimate showdown.
Yeah, like an ultimate showdown of like all of the husbandu waifus. Basically, an ongoing series of The Bachelor where we just
give our rose.
Yeah. All right. And the final, the last award, the most prestigious award, the Gamiest Game Award.
The Gamiest Game.
This is the award that we give out to honor the games that most exemplify what it is to be a game. They are gamey, they're chewy, there's a lot of systems going on, or there's a lot of just like mess and grossness around it.
It is that sort of that ineffable quality of this is a capital V, capital G video game, and it could be nothing else.
Exactly right. Past winners, Metal Gear Solid, whatever that massive
five.
One, five.
The Phantom What's, Pain.
The Phantom
Masterpiece.
Pain. Masterpiece. What won last year? What was our gamiest game last year?
I believe it was Red Dead Redemption 2.
God, that's a gamey ass game, dude.
It really is.
You can meat can go bad on your horse. Come on. All right, the nominees: Pokemon Sword and Shield, Death Stranding, Jedi Fallen Order, Team Fight Tactics.
Oh my god!
Apex Legends and Untitled Goose Game.
Oh man, this. Okay, tell me about Teamfight Tactics, because my the breadth of my experience with Teamfight Tactics is watching people on BART and just shuddering as I look at them.
Teamfight Tactics follows in the year-long tradition of this fabled genre of what is it called? Battlers?
Yeah.
Action battlers?
God. Yeah.
it is a game that's based off of League of Legends, and you use League of Legends characters to auto chess, essentially, to fight each other in little battles, and then over a period of time, there's a single winner after your life is torn down, and there's all these other complicated mechanics, like certain champions synergize with other champions, and there's like weird meta puzzles, but it's not 1v1, like you don't choose who you fight, so you kind of have to build a team for everybody. It's very weird. I think anytime there's a weird new genre that gets super blown out over the course of a year, really popular, gets a bunch of lookalikes, and then someone steps in that uses an existing brand and all of those games, like it is gamey.
That's true. And just the fact that it's already based off an extremely gamey game.
Yes, exactly. That
they're just like doubling down on the...
Exactly, yeah. It's in the same client. Like, there's all kinds of weird custom awards they added. It's monetized to shit. It's great.
Yeah. Okay, very gamey. Strong contender.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Jedi, because I haven't played that game.
So Jedi, I added to the list because this is a game that is fine. It crashes a lot for me, which is a huge shame, but it is very heavily inspired by an amalgam of other games.
Yep.
Most notably Dark Souls, because there is basically everything that Dark Souls has. Even it has Sekiro's stamina meter. It has meditation points, which are essentially bonfires.
Right.
It has respawning enemies. It has shortcuts that you open along the map as you play. If you die, you lose your experience points. You have to go attack the thing that killed you to get the experience points back.
Whew. Yep.
Total borrowing of those mechanics. But also, it has weird and fucking, to be perfectly honest, atrocious sliding experiences that are like Sonic the Hedgehog. There's a lot of platforming in the vein of Uncharted. It is just an amalgamation of games that people liked over the past few years, but with Star Wars now.
Right. That's a pretty, I mean, that in of itself of, hey, it's one of those, but we have a license, is a pretty good category.
Yeah, one of those, but licensed. Yeah. Great.
Mm. I mean, Apex Legends, it's kind of a similar, you know what? It's kind of a similar thing to both of those, both
that's true.
Jedi and Teamfight, because it feels like such a product of its time.
Yep.
Everything around it, the Battle Royale, the format of the game, the monetization behind it, the Battle Pass stuff, the meta narrative around Twitch and streaming. I mean, there's just so many things around it.
What do you think about Goose Game? Because it is surprisingly gamey.
It is. It is. Has a lot of, I mean, it's an objective-based game.
What I will say that I think we don't recognize when we talk about gaminess is also the amount of quick pop culture that appears around a game. Like Untitled Goose Game, I saw numerous Halloween outfits of people dressed as the kid that hides in the phone booth, you know?
Right. Really, and also just it is one of those things that is, I mean, it is a systems driven experience in an with an absurd framing around it, which is inherently video gamey.
Yep, absolutely right.
Oh man, I mean, Pokemon, just Pokemon.
Always, I mean, a perennial gamey contender. I don't think, honestly, there will never be a Pokemon not nominated for this award. I would be shocked. It would be crazy.
Also, so I love little items, the menus, just everything.
Oh, and then even the fact that the changes are also indicative of its time and place. Open world moments, like you can finally see the Pokemon out in the wild and go like find them and fight them in an open world environment. Right. There's multiplayer elements. Is this a Strand game, Scott?
Oh shit.
Think about that, you know? But also it's just straight up normal Pokemon, you know?
That is true.
And the drama around it, like we talked earlier, where people were mad that not all the Pokemon were in there, or people were upset that, like, oh, some of the graphics are, like, slightly weird on the Switch, which is totally not an issue, by the way.
Yeah.
Very gamey. But, on the other hand, what I will say, and I think is the obvious contender, Death Stranding.
Yes.
Is so fucking gamey.
Yep.
That it rivals, because I think I don't know about you. I would say up to this point, if we were to do our sort of battle royale of gamiest games that we've nominated, Metal Gear Solid V: The Phantom Pain is insanely gamey.
Mm-hmm.
I think only Death Stranding comes close to achieve the level of just heaps and heaps of systems and information and like weird little games within games of most of the games that we've talked about, certainly more than Red Dead.
Yeah. Well, and in a way that is so like weirdly minutely detailed.
Yeah. Like, I mean, every time you deliver a package, the amount of information it provides you, like distance traveled, the difference between the distance that you traveled and what we've determined to be the optimum distance traveled based upon the strand connections that other players right. had. Like, the did other people use your items? Like, other people liking you? There's a moment, this is a great moment, where one of the characters multiple times gives you the thumbs up and the little, like, heart emoji appears on his thumb.
Yes.
You know? Like, it's pretty wild.
Yeah, the fact that they integrated likes into an in-universe system of likes that people actually trade in as currency.
Yeah.
It's pretty fucking gamey.
It's so gamey.
I mean, to me, this... There's like a three-way fight right now in my head. It's Pokemon, Death Stranding, Team Fight.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, so I mean, how do we untangle this strand?
I don't want to give too many awards to Death Stranding this year.
Mm.
You know, is part of it. I also think Death Stranding is really good, and the gaminess is partly... I mean, a lot of it is justified, I think, in a way that maybe it's not in Metal Gear Solid V, The Phantom Pain.
Right.
So I'll give you that. The meta nature of Teamfight is pretty good, especially because League of Legends is fucking 10 years old, you know?
Yes. Well, and also just, it's, there's so much, just, there's just so many details, and there's so many mechanics upon mechanics upon mechanics, and also... It's
the monetization.
The monetization of it, even the genesis of how that game came into existence, of like this weird new subgenre based off of, like, inspired by but now a totally separate thing from MOBAs. I mean, yeah.
Well, and also the fact that League of Legends was based off of a Dota 2 2, right? Which was based off of Dota, and then AutoChess was using Dota 2, and now League of Legends is making Teamfight Tactics that's based off of AutoChess.
That is
true. It's an Ouroboros of game design, you know? But it's only like three snakes eating themselves, and they're off in their corner just circling each other.
I mean, I mean, Death Stranding is so gamey. One could make the argument, I guess, that you theoretically could ignore a lot of those mechanics and... maybe the game would still stand up. I mean, but you couldn't ignore the Team Fight Tactics stuff. Like, that game falls apart if you don't engage with all of the gamey shit in there.
Well, what I'll say though is there are other games like Team Fight Tactics, right? Like AutoChess and a few others have stepped into the ring. Death Stranding is singularly gamey.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
Like, we've identified other Strand games. It's a popular, well-known genre. The Strand
established
game.
Genre.
As we all know and love the Strand genre. But Death Stranding, there's no game like it. Whereas I think on this list, part of the point is that there are a bunch of games like these other games.
Right. Right. That's a good point. But then you start to get Pokemon back in the mix.
And then you're troubled.
The Pokemon, I mean, I'm still playing through Pokemon. I feel like Pokemon is just going to be my casual, like, I'm just going to play it every once in a while game.
You got Shield, right?
I got Sword.
Okay, Sword, right. Okay.
I mean, the curry minigame, the, like, camping with Pokemon.
Oh, my God, I forgot about the cooking with, and you can play ball with them.
Yeah, you can play ball, or you have the cat toy that you can wave at them. I mean, there's just so many little, funky little mechanics that are... You just start to have like a quasi dating simulator with your Pokemon in it.
Yeah, I love that so much. I love having humanoid Pokemon at my camp. It's so weird.
Man, I encountered a Pokemon the other day. I forget what it was called. It was called something like Milky or something. Where it's just like an upside down udder that is like a splash of milk. Oh, and I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, dude. I added that guy to my party. I mean, at this point, I literally just choose Pokemon that I think are hilarious. Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Other thing I'll say. And you see this sometimes at the Oscars, right? Where like Matthew McConaughey will win an award for something, but we all know that it was really for his performance in the TV show he was in.
You're rewarding. Who was the director? Was it Scorsese that finally won an Oscar? But really, like, why didn't he have one already?
Exactly. We've never given the Gamiest Game Award to Pokemon. You know, and I feel like it's inevitable that we do. Maybe this is the year.
I mean, so, okay, let me see if I can walk my way into this. So, like, Pokemon, first off, the fundamental nature of Pokemon has just, it's only added on top of itself. I mean, it's just layers upon layers upon layers. Like, they've never removed any of the cruft. They've just added on top of it.
That's right, yeah. Well, you can move diagonally now, so.
I guess that's true. And then, well, I mean, kind of. But then they also open it up. I mean, it goes, those corridor sequences, like along the routes.
Yeah, so linear.
Should essentially be in a 2D plane.
That's true, yeah.
But then it opens it up to this weird, you know, instanced area where, I mean, I don't know. It's pretty gamey in that they've basically kind of done a light MMO, like raids in Pokemon.
That's true, yeah.
Oh man, because you can invite people in. It really is. I mean, you can invite people in to fight the, like, you know, the Dynamax Pokemon. I mean, so you could do raids. Also, there's just a million menu items everywhere.
There's also crazy fashion options that I've never seen in a Pokemon game before, absolutely loving.
Maybe this is it. Maybe, and to your point, maybe this is almost like a Pokemon wins, but this is it for Pokemon, because it's never gonna, like, I mean, it's always gonna be this, you know?
That's true.
This is like a lifetime achievement of Pokemon is just a legendarily gamey franchise.
But over Death Stranding, though, like, are we gonna regret this next year? You know,
that's what I'm weighing. I mean, think about because Kojima
makes gamey ass games, you know,
like, and even this is just beyond the pale for him.
Even this, yes. Yeah. I mean, he invented a genre, Scott. That doesn't happen very often. I mean, how many times does that happen in our lifetime? Like 3, 4?
I mean, let's think about Battle Royale, MOBAs, Strand games. I mean, let's think about everything. Like, so there's obviously the latent multiplayer. There's everything you do is graded. I mean, you can farm parts of this game out to robots to deliver shit for you.
Yep. Fourth wall breaking consistently.
Fourth wall breaking.
You can ask other players to do your petty work.
Well, and not only that, the entire game is fetch quests. The entire game.
At one point, you have to deliver pizza in under 30 minutes, Scott.
Well, and it's also, it takes the whole, like, Resident Evil inventory management thing
to an extreme.
I have spent so much time in menus in this game.
You know, you can auto sort your shit.
I auto sort it, but I also want to attach things to my floating trailer. I want to, you know, load things into my truck.
Which you can also scan and customize. Oh man. Oh, also there are holograms from other games. So, like, Horizon Zero Dawn holograms.
Yep.
Okay. And Monster Energy drink.
I think that pushes it over for me, because one part of being gamey is just shoddily cramming in references to other things into your game. You know, it's like, oh, by the way, here is a advertisement for Norman Reedus's television show.
Yeah.
Every on time AMC. You take a shit in the game.
The fact that you take a shit at all, right? That's not, hey, look, Pokemon, call me when I can drop a deuce in Pokemon, okay?
Call me when you have to have each member of your Pokemon party take an individual poop, and then we'll start talking. Yes.
And then I can use them as berries in combat against my enemies.
Fuck, I think this is it. This has been this was a knife fight for sure.
Yeah, look, any other year, you know, maybe next year, Pokemon, you're going to come out, you know, in a couple years or whatever.
And you know what? There is going to be, like, there will always be a Pokemon.
There will always be a Pokemon. But how many Strand games are we going to get, I ask you?
I mean, we'll see. I mean, I think this is it. I think Death Stranding, gamiest game of 2019. How does that sound?
Congratulations, Hideo Kojima. You did it again.
You're crazy.
This is our first. This is our first winner that has already won this award. He's going to just add this to his shelf.
So did we do that? What was that, the thing? We what was that, 2015 or something?
Like, yeah.
Right, because that was also the year where you could do, it was like the mini game thing inside of MGS5 and
yeah.
all that.
And the Facebook stuff, yeah.
Oh my God. I can't.
I'll bet you $20 right now, the next game Hideo Kojima does will also win the Gamiest Game Award.
Oh my God.
It's what he does. I mean, Strand games, gamey games.
I mean, it's we're watching a legend in our own time.
true star.
All right, man, what a marathon. For anyone and everyone that has stuck through this entire podcast.
I would say, by the way,
thank you so much for it.
Death Stranding has almost swept this entire show with what, 5 awards?
I mean, it continues.
It's like Oscar night over here.
Yeah, to make an impression. And we will continue to talk about it because the debrief is coming in hot.
Yes.
Man, yes. I mean, congratulations. I mean, congratulations to all the winners. Also, yep. It is it's an honor / dishonor just to be nominated.
Exactly.
Oh, man. All right. I guess we're wrapping it up for Gamies 2019, huh?
Yeah. We'll come back next week, the actual Game Awards.
Yeah, the actual games of the year. And I guess in the interim, you know, experiencepoints@gmail.com is the email address. You know, feel free to just tell us how wrong we were.
Yeah, please do. And experiencepoints.net is where we run the show from. It's our control house where we tell people to open envelopes.
It's my private room.
Come on down. Bring your friends. We need people to sit in seats.
Yeah, be a seat filler and then be pleasantly surprised by how nice the show was.
Exactly.
Help yourselves to these hors d'oeuvres. Not too many, though.
One of these days, I want to bring, I don't know what in what world this is, but I want to bring on someone who wins and have him give an acceptance speech. Like, if I knew Rebecca Qualey or whatever, whoever plays Mama in real life, I would just call her up and be like, look, we're going to need you to give us an acceptance speech.
Yeah, we got
to
get in touch of her representation and, you know, get her agent on the phone or whatever.
Yeah, we'll work on that.
All right, everyone. Thanks again for listening and for sticking with us. It's one of our favorite episodes of the year. Thanks again, and we will talk to you next week.
Ciao. Every time we